Craig Bolanos, co-founder and wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. Get retired, stay retired.com. Craig, hello. How are you, my friend?
Hey, John. It's good to be with you. What's with the weather, though? We went from like a swamp in the Amazon to it got a little cool today with these rain showers.
Yeah, it did. It's going to be a little cool the next couple of days. Are you a heat and humidity guy, or are you like a little bit more like 70s and comfortable?
No, I'm a heat and community. You know what, John? I'm a sunshine guy. I like sunshine and roses. I like Dow Jones Industrial Averages that go to all-time highs. I like a market where the Federal Reserve gives me rate cuts. I didn't get either of those today.
Yeah, the rate cut thing is interesting in that it wasn't a unanimous decision by the board. I think you and I have had some polite disagreements. I think they should keep the rate for the same for a long time, only because things seem to be in a Goldilocks pattern right now. That's how, at least how I see it. What make the argument for why maybe they should have cut rates today?
Well, I think at the end of the day is this, you know, it's about being preventative, right? It's about being preventative, John. And what I mean by that is the Fed is very data dependent. And when you are incredibly data dependent, that is going to make you reactionary. You're a little bit too slow to raise rates, and look what happened by not raising rates soon enough. The inflation ran hot. And in the same vein, if you're too slow in cutting the rates, the Goldilocks scenario where things aren't too hot, they're not too cold, they might get cold quickly. But don't worry, it's already almost August, and September will be right around the corner, and I still think we have a good chance for a rate cut in September with a follow-on act by the end of the year. And if we get at least two rate cuts, the theory of the soft landing and markets that make higher highs will continue to resonate in 2025.
What'd you think about the GDP number popping at a 3.0 for the second quarter? I don't know if that was quite a surprise, but I was surprised to see that after really the GDP in the first quarter, people were concerned about where this was going.
Well, yeah, the GDP in Q1 was completely, how do I say it? It was just bad data because you had so many companies bring in massive amounts of inventory. There was a large import-export imbalance that led to that terrible GDP print in Q1. But Q2's data coming in nice like it did today. Oh, I think that reminds everybody, us, all of us, that despite some of the antics, despite some of the overture, despite the clouds of worry, this U.S. economy is still the envy of other countries around the globe.
Okay, then why are so many people concerned about it? Consumer confidence did peak up a little bit this month, too. But I feel like this is a rinse and repeat conversation from the Biden administration. The second half, when inflation had come down a bit and the markets were doing great and the jobs number were great, but people just didn't feel that way. And I feel like we have the same sort of situation going on now. Are we just in a mindset of Americans is everything is bad and boo-hoo?
I think we're stuck in a little bit of a mindset of these negative overtures that are fueled by all forms of media and personalities and different items. But, John, all of these investors across Chicago and the country that are listening to us right now, they celebrate something, John. And what they celebrate is that the stock market tends to climb a wall of worry. And having these walls of worry in 23 and 24 and 25 is exactly what has allowed this market to continue to grow. Once everyone stops worrying and that complacency is replaced with euphoria, this bull market will die. So for the time being, John, I'm happy that sentiment is somewhat negative, and I'll take data that's good to offset that sentiment any day of the week.
We don't have to have an argument here or a discussion about, do consumers really pay the tariffs or do companies absorb some of the cost? I think consumers do pay a lot of the tariff. I do think companies do eat some of the costs of tariffs moving forward. But there's been a lot of discussion now of perhaps a rebate check for Americans coming from tariff revenue. I didn't prep you for this question, Craig, but you're always good for a surprise one. Any thoughts on a little liquidity coming to the American public in the form of the tariff revenue?
I don't see tariff stimulus checks coming, right? We've been hearing about it for a while. There's a new bill coming out of the GOP to send $600 rebates to eligible taxpayers. The problem, again, becomes who's going to determine who's an eligible taxpayer, right? It's probably not going to be everybody. And there's going to be a tremendous amount of administrative cost to go ahead and do such. So is it a good spend for us to do tariff rebates? rebates to get people $600, or is it a better use of government efficiency to simply run things better? Well, I guess that's why we have elected officials. I'm personally not going to hold my breath, but if you said, what's the latest deal on who would or wouldn't qualify? If you're single and you make under $75,000, you might get one. If you're married, filing jointly under $150,000, you might get one. But if you make more than that, it's going to be substantially reduced.
I'd be curious what the details are. I kind of think of the same way as you. And also, this is a government telling us now that the tariffs are to help bring down the deficit. If you immediately start writing checks to the American public, that's not quite how that works, but basic economics. Craig, what are people calling you about in the office today and this week?
Well, I think, you know, what we're hearing this time of year, it's the second half. People want to know what's the outlook for the second half of the year, and they want to know what are the strategies that they can use to be successful. And our comment is similar to what we've shared all year. Be pragmatically optimistic. Have pragmatic optimism, John. Make all of your decisions based on data. Don't make any of the decisions based on sentiment. But then in making those decisions on data, make sure that you're properly diversifying. I don't think people should own just the S&P 500. I think we need to diversify our diversifiers. That means go global. That means do other forms of alternative investments. That means don't just get lulled into locking in and staying with your high-yield savings. Maybe start extending some maturities and buying some treasuries, other things, because I do think rates are going to come down. Those are all the things that we're discussing. But probably most importantly, John, is people want to know what's in the one big beautiful bill for me, or what's in the OBB that hurts me. That is probably the biggest soup du jour.
Oh, that's a good one, because there could be real tax implications in the benefit of you, or maybe not. And GetRetiredStayRetired.com is where people can go to start that conversation and then follow up with you and your team, Craig, at VestGen Wealth. We're out of time today, but as always, you kill it, my friend. Thank you.
John, thanks so much. GetRetiredStayRetired.com. Download our One Big Beautiful Bill guide today so you can see how you, too, will be affected with what's changed.
Love that. Talk soon, Craig.
Be good, John. Thanks.